Dr. Lando, the postdoctoral fellow at the Penn Center for Integration of Genetic Healthcare Technologies, CIGHT, at the University of Pennsylvania. Her postdoctoral research examines how advances in genomics and pharmacogenomics impacts the delivery of healthcare and patient decision-making. Jocelyn recently earned her PhD from the Annenberg School of Communication. Her doctoral research analyzed the ways that media messages about genetics, race, and health shape opinion and health policy preferences. Jocelyn also received her MA in communications from the University of Pennsylvania.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here today. As you can see, my talk today is entitled Communicating Genetics, Race, and Health and Medicine, Effects of Message Framing and Racial Priming on Public Opinion About Personalized Medicine. To begin with, I have no relationships to disclose. So broadly stated, this research aims to examine the effects of media messages about genetics, race, and health on public opinion about these topics, and more specifically about personalized medicine. I looked at the effects of racial cues in these messages and how those shaped people's opinions about genetics and personalized medicine. And it's an important area of research because studies have shown that associating race as a biological or genetic marker can have implications for people's racial opinions, as well as potentially for this continued social marginalization of historically disadvantaged groups. There's some evidence that it might promote opinions about racial discrimination. Research has also shown that messages that label certain racial or ethnic groups as carriers of a disease trait or gene can have significant consequences for personal health behavior as well as broader social environments. Now, just some background in this area. The Human Genome Project was completed fairly recently, and since then, knowledge about the genetic basis of many traits and common diseases has increased substantially. The Human Genome Project confirmed that there are no inherent biological differences across racial and ethnic groups, but it did find that there are some genetic similarities more commonly found within these subgroups than across more diverse populations. Since there are currently no cost-effective methods of obtaining individual genetic profiles for all patients, scientists and doctors continue to use racial and ethnic grouping as an imprecise proxy of genetic similarity as a way to provide more personalized care. And as Lee describes, although the Human Genome Project seemed to confirm the fallacy of a genetic basis of race, the use of race in understanding human genetic variation remains central in genomic research and medicine. So perhaps it's not surprising then that studies have also shown that the public has fairly complex attitudes about the relationship between genetics and race. This study also draws on racial priming theory, which is a theory that holds that cues in the media environment activate or deactivate citizens' racial predispositions with implications for public opinion as well as health policy preferences. Racial priming theory suggests that when people make judgments about an issue, racial cues that associate that issue with a particular group can lead people to apply their racial views to form opinions or judgments about the issue. Research has also shown that racial cues in messages can evoke negative associations even among people who are predisposed to avoid making these kinds of racially based associations. So this research is comprised of two studies. The first was a small pilot study that looked at the within-subject effects of basically introducing race to discussions about personalized medicine. The second study was a larger study that involved a representative sample and was a between-subjects factorial design looking at both racial and non-racial descriptions of personalized medicine. In the interest of time, I'll be focusing on the main study's results, but I will touch on a couple of findings from the pilot study. So the main study was a 2x2 experimental design. It was embedded in an online survey that was conducted by Knowledge Networks. Knowledge Networks maintains a research panel of U.S. participants that are representative, and everything was conducted online. Those participants that did not have an internet access or a computer were given a web TV appliance with proper operating instructions. So all participants completed everything online, and subjects received an email invitation to participate. In order to test hypotheses regarding racial priming, African Americans were oversampled, and about 750 participated in the study. I'm focusing on just whites and African Americans for the purpose of analyses. It was hypothesized that cueing race in the context of genetics and medicine would decrease audiences' favorability about personalized medicine, and this was based off the pilot study findings. The pilot study also found an interaction effect by respondent race, such that whites were more unfavorable towards personalized medicine following the introduction of race. It was thought that this might be because cueing race led whites to believe that they were not going to be benefiting from this, and kind of think perhaps that personalized medicine would be then associated with minority interests. So for the main study, there was a hypothesis number two, which said that respondent race would moderate the effects of the racial cue stimulus messages on participants' favorability. Three research questions were posed to investigate whether political ideology, education, and racial attitudes moderated the effects of the stimulus messages on opinions about personalized medicine. Now here you can see the introductory message that all participants saw. It gave a general description about personalized medicine that we called genetically targeted care. I use this term because I was concerned that personalized medicine might have an implicit bias that generally things that are personalized sound pretty good. So I thought genetically targeted care might be a more neutral term. After the participants read this message, they answered a few questions that measured baseline opinions about personalized medicine. Now here you can see the racial cue stimulus message. Participants were randomly assigned to either the racial cue message or the non-racial cue message, and a random split sample was assigned to each. As you can see, the racial cue message talked about the use of race as a proxy for genetic similarity in the absence of genetic testing. The non-racial cue message had some similar content and was similar in length, but it emphasized the individualized aspect of genetic testing to provide personalized medicine. After reading these brief messages, participants responded to an identical set of survey questions. Now turning to the research findings, here you can see the results of a baseline measure of opinions about personalized medicine. This was before any mention of race was introduced. And as you can see, the results of the pilot and the main study were nearly identical. Among the white population, a large majority of people felt that personalized medicine seemed like a good thing, and they agreed that it would improve people's overall medical care. In both studies, however, African Americans were more ambivalent and expressed some concern that personalized medicine would discriminate against people that were less responsive to medical treatment. And in both studies, these differences by race were statistically significant. Now, the main study found support for the first hypothesis, which theorized that people would not be favorable toward personalized medicine following the racial cue message. In general, people tended to believe that, well, those in the racial cue condition tend to believe that personalized medicine would not be a good way to genetically targeted care would not be a good way to personalize medicine, and that people would not trust genetically targeted care. And both of these were significant differences across groups. But counter to our expectations, there was no interaction effect by respondent race. Across the board, white participants were significantly more favorable toward personalized medicine than African Americans, and this was before and after exposure to the stimulus messages. The results showed that across racial groups, people preferred messages about personalized medicine that were individualized as opposed to racialized. Now moving on to the research questions, political ideology showed no interaction effects. However, education did moderate the effects of the stimulus messages on attitudes towards personalized medicine. Particularly, there was a significant interaction effect of education by treatment condition for participants' favorability towards personalized medicine and concerns about limitations on access to medical treatment as a result of personalized medicine. Participants with lower levels of education showed the largest mean difference in responses across conditions. Unlike the participants with higher education, those with less than a high school education tended to respond favorably to the racial cue stimulus message, and participants with higher levels of education tended to respond negatively to the racial cue message. This might be explained by the fact that the racial cue message may have helped lower educated people understand more about the use of genetics, family history, things like that, to provide more personalized care. However, more educated people seem to have greater concerns about discrimination as a consequence of using racial and ethnic groupings to provide medicine. And I should mention that these effects were consistent across racial groups. In terms of racial attitudes, there was evidence of racial attitudes moderating the effects of the treatment conditions on people's opinions about whether they thought personalized medicine would benefit people like me. This measure was included specifically to pick up any differences by racial attitudes because it was the only one that referenced your in-group. And as you can see on the table, participants in the racial cue condition strongly felt that that personalized medicine would benefit people like them. So in other words, people with strong in-group racial attitudes were in greatest agreement with the idea that personalized medicine would benefit people like them, particularly as compared to their counterparts in the non-racial cue condition. Interestingly, there was almost no mean difference across groups for people with more neutral or egalitarian racial attitudes. So the results seem to indicate that cueing race in the context of genetics and personalized medicine led participants that strongly favored their own group to believe that personalized medicine would be particularly beneficial to people like them. So in sum, this study found some compelling differences between whites and African Americans in baseline judgments and opinions about personalized medicine. Across both studies, in the representative sample, whites generally expressed more positive views about personalized medicine and genetics than African Americans. The study using a representative sample offers evidence to suggest that education and racial attitudes may also shape people's opinions about developments in personalized medicine and genetics. But as with any research, this study had some limitations that are worth noting. For one, the effects were relatively small, but given the fact that the experimental manipulations were relatively minor and the messages were fairly brief, I think it's still noteworthy that we saw some change as a result of these messages. And since genetics and personalized medicine are new and complex topics, it's reasonable to believe that these somewhat small differences in opinion might translate into larger differences as the public gains greater familiarity and awareness of these issues. Certainly, this research shows that more studies are needed to investigate the effects of media messages about genetics, race, and health on public opinion and policy preferences. This research shows that the media are an important locus of research for empirical studies on the implications of advances in genetics and medicine. And the media have the capacity to shape and reflect public attitudes about these issues. And this is an important and timely area of research because studies have shown that the U.S. public is still in the early stages of forming beliefs and attitudes about genomics, and the media are largely influential in shaping public understanding and awareness about these issues. I also think it's important to consider the ways that the media may influence public perceptions about scientific developments, because in a democratic society, the lay public can exert substantial influence on the progress of science, medicine, and the use of these science-based technologies. Here's my email if you have any questions that you want to contact me directly, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.